It didn't take long for COVID-19 to affect Major League Baseball. Games with the Miami Marlins are suspended through this weekend after more than a dozen players and coaches tested positive for COVID-19. The Marlins played in Philadelphia last weekend, even though Miami knew some on their team were infected. The Phillies also postponed some games this week in case the Marlins exposed them to the virus. Mike Pesca is here and now sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast The Gist at Slate.com. Mike, does this surprise anybody in Major League Baseball?
Well, I think it surprised Rob Manfred, who is the commissioner of baseball. Now, to be fair, in his very rare public comments, he said, "We always knew something like this could happen," but it was clear he had no plan for it. So there are now actually closer to two dozen than a dozen Marlin players who were infected. And if you go over the timeline of why they're not playing and why they did play, it was that the Marlins took a team vote to play, even though there were infected players on the team. Like, how is that important? How is that part of the protocol? They did play, thereby possibly spreading the infection to others. And then the reason they're not playing now, officially, MLB said, okay, the Marlins will be off for 2 days. But another team, the Washington Nationals, they took a vote and said, no, we won't be traveling down to the infected area to play the Marlins. So it seems extremely ad hoc. And beyond that, the communication about it has just been an abyss. So if something like this happens again, if there is another outbreak of this nature, I don't know what baseball is going to do. Play it by ear. Let them play unless a team takes a vote. Big question marks.
And the Phillies, how much was known about the vote that the Marlins took and that some were infected? I mean, did the Phillies have a say in this?
No, the Phillies were to occupy locker rooms the Phillies played the Marlins, and then the Yankees were to occupy locker rooms, or as they call them, clubhouses. So there was a cascade of four teams whose schedule was halted. And inside the world of baseball, the big question is, oh, how do they make up the games? I really do think that's the wrong question. Baseball issued hundreds and hundreds of protocols, including no spitting, which is being ignored, no high fives. I got to tell you, I've watched every Met game, seen every Met score. There has been high five after everyone, but no protocols for what happens when there's a massive outbreak and a team turns into a hotspot. Just kind of crazy, if you ask me.
Is there any way that there's going to be an already abbreviated 60-game schedule for Major League Baseball?
Yes, because, the 60-game schedule is so tight that it's probably going to be hard for the Marlins, maybe the Orioles, to get all their games in. So if this goes on and there aren't too many pauses in play, there might be some teams might play fewer games, and they might go to the team's winning percentage as opposed to just the wins and losses to see who makes the playoffs, though the playoffs are expanded. So a lot more teams will be making the playoffs this year than last year, if there are indeed a playoffs.
And how about basketball? The NBA season resumes tonight after it was shut down since March. Has the NBA had any coronavirus issues so far?
Well, yes, individual players have issues, but they are in a bubble, just like Major League Soccer, just like the WNBA. And I understand it's harder for teams with big or sports with big rosters like baseball and football to bubble up. But the difference between a bubble where your interactions are controlled and a non-bubble is sort of the difference between a NASA space rocket launch and someone shooting off a bottle rocket in their backyard. I mean, basketball has controlled and has protocols, and all the players have wrist bracelets that beep them in and out of areas they're supposed to be into, and they also contact trace as they go along. So they've been doing it much more formally, much more rigorously, and the season's going to start today, tonight, a full slate of games Friday. They seem to be poised to do this successfully.
The WNBA resumed play last Saturday, the women players. How's that going so far?
It's going really well. I mean, all the stories from the WNBA are things like great players like Brianna Stewart, a former MVP, returning. She missed all of last year with an injury. She's been great. The number one draft pick, Sabrina Ionescu of the New York Liberty, scored 33 points. She looks great. And the other stories, if they're not basketball, are about activism, are about Kyrie Irving, the NBA star, donating $1.5 million to WNBA players who couldn't play or didn't feel comfortable playing. So far, that experiment's going quite well.
The National Women's Soccer League was the first American pro league to return to play. The league just completed its 2020 Challenge Cup. Houston Dash won the title. There were no positive coronavirus cases during the competition. So is there a lesson there for everybody else?
Yes. And MLS seems to be going well, too, which is the men's version. That bubbles seem to work and non-bubbles are extremely dangerous. I would say that that is the lesson to take away.
Okay, one final question. NFL training camps are opening. Some players are opting out of play because of the virus. Is it going to be possible to play football safely this year?
I think it's going to be possible to play football just like it's going to be possible to open schools or open restaurants. We just have to wait and see what the virus is doing. The NFL right now is not doing a bubble. I guess they can't do a bubble, but there are players who are saying, I don't feel comfortable. Many players on the Patriots. I just think non-bubble sports are going to be a tough ask in this environment.
Okay. Mike Pesca, thank you. Mike Pesca is host of the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com.